We turn to very familiar words, a story that is told, usually rolled up in the Christmas story, although the visit of the Magi traditionally came on the 12th day of Christmas. So we hear this story of Matthew chapter 2, the first 15 verses of the visit of the Magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'O you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" So then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them on to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." Now when they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were filled and overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So every year we hear this story of the three Magi who traveled from afar to visit the Christ child. And over time, history and legend have fleshed out the limited information given to us in Matthew's Gospel so that annually we will talk about Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, bringing it to Mary's little boy lying in a manger. But today, instead of talking about the three wise men, I'd like to talk about some lesser known characters. The three wise boys. Now, you didn't think the Magi from the East were going to take care of their own camels, did you? Every wise man had a servant boy who assisted him. Now, sadly, history doesn't tell us their names, but they also had traveled from afar. They also were excited to see the infant king. But being young boys, though, they asked if they might bring back something from their long journey. Well, fortunately, there was a souvenir stand near the stable. But because they had to travel so far, and they needed all the room in the trunks for their supplies, the wise men told their servant boys they could only buy one thing, and that thing had to be light and easy to pack. And the boys agreed. So one by one, the Magi, with his young servant, approached the humble dwelling of Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child. Gaspar went first, carrying the gift of gold. Now, as he and his servant approached, Gaspar thought how different this whole setting was from King Herod's halls of power where they had recently visited. There were no soldiers and banners here. There was no thrones and crowns. There was no huddled crowds of court advisors, scribes, and priests whispering together and jostling for a better view of these strange visitors from foreign lands. Gaspar had knelt in homage to King Herod, as was required, but he sensed that that man on the throne was only that, a man on a throne. And when they had asked Herod, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" Herod's eyes had widened and betrayed his fear, even if his stony face was unmoved. When the scribes nearby read aloud the ancient prophecy saying that the expected Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, literally only a few miles away, it had struck Gaspar odd that these same religious scholars expressed no interest in going to see for themselves whether the ancient words had finally come true. Herod had then ordered the Magi to go to Bethlehem. And when the large palace doors slammed shut behind them and they were cast out into the dark night, the gold, the thrones, the religious writings and all the power was left inside that palace, well lit by torches and silver candelabras. But as the Magi resumed their journey, who was to say which group was in darkness and which group was truly in the light? On that day, Gaspar gently set down his chest of gold and he paid homage to the newborn king. And meanwhile, Gaspar's servant boy quietly got up and he went over to the souvenir stand and he looked at all the available options. And being a very wise boy, he decided that the best choice of all was a bumper sticker because it was light. And he could put it, no, not on the camel, but on the chest that was strapped behind the wise men's saddles. And so as the boy stood there looking at the choices, and he thought back to his time in Herod's palace, and he remembered the gold that had been left there before this infant king, he chose a bumper sticker that said this: "If Jesus is Lord, someone else isn't." Melchior and his servant went next, and they carried their gift of frankincense. Frankincense is this rare perfume whose scent was considered fit for the gods. Melchior was the star scholar. He was the astronomer who had spent countless nights learning the celestial dance of the heavens. He always felt that so many others in the world paid far too much attention to earthly matters, armies and borders, vanities and possessions and passing fancies. Melchior believed that it was only through an awareness of how small we are in the universal scheme of things that only then could you keep things in life in perspective. That anyone who watched the stars and the moons and the planets orbiting overhead knew that someone greater had set it all in motion. And if we're not in control, but God is, then acknowledging that fact is the first step towards true wisdom. And when one who sets the stars in motion causes the stars to change course, causes the evening sky to be illuminated by a star so bright that you simply must follow where it leads you, then why would we choose to ignore that? If God is life and goodness, why wouldn't we go where we are led? And yes, yes, that takes work. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, it takes time. This is not a passing fancy. It takes long days to go against the grain to travel far, and sometimes wondering along the journey if maybe we made a mistake in our calculations. But following stars is an act of the heart and the soul, and that is our closest connection to the God of creation, and therefore, it's always to be trusted. So Melchior's entrance that day was preceded by the aroma of frankincense that he carried before him. And the aroma caused the Holy Family to look up and to breathe in deeply and reverently. And Joseph asked Melchior if he'd traveled far, and Melchior simply silently nodded. And at that point, Melchior's servant boy slipped off to leave them alone. And he too went to the souvenir stand. And being a wise boy, he too chose a bumper sticker that could be put on Melchior's supply chest. And the one he chose said this: "To follow a star means changing courses." Balthasar had waited to be last with his gift. Balthasar brought myrrh. It's a fragrant resin. It can be used as a perfume. It could be made into an ointment to heal wounds. It could be burnt as incense. But for those who could afford it, it was also a spice that was placed in burial chambers to cover the stench of death. Balthasar had felt uneasy ever since they had left Herod's palace. He didn't trust Herod, and he had felt a growing conviction that they were not to return to Jerusalem when this journey was over. That everything about that place, the advisors, the pretender on the throne, had smelled to him of death. And no whiff of myrrh could cover it up. A spirit of violence filled Herod's palace. A spirit of violence seemed about to erupt over the whole land where they'd been sent. And despite all of their wisdom, Balthasar knew how risky it was for any magi to tell the truth when such news was bad news for those in power. And it all made him worried as he knelt before the Christ child. It made him sad to hand over a gift that seemed at its heart to offer a mixed message. A resin that can heal. A spice for the tomb. And yet somehow he knew it was the right gift to give. And Mary was the one who accepted the gift of myrrh from Balthasar. She seemed to understand the dual meaning of the myrrh as she took it from him. For when their eyes met, Balthasar knew that she knew. The servant boy quietly left them. He went over to the souvenir stand. And yet something had changed. He realized that from now on he would travel without a star, but with a new light to guide them. So being a wise boy too, he also chose a bumper sticker. And his said this: "The road away from a manger is always a different one." Now eventually the small group got back on their camels, although they had to figure out a new route to take them back home. I don't think the Magi even noticed the bumper stickers that the wise boys had purchased and put on their trunks. Their focus was on other things and not on these travel chests strapped behind the saddles on their beasts of burden. But the wise boys knew they were there, and they thought of them as their own gifts for the road home. Every time the caravan then would stop and the Magi would go off to their special tents or the royal palaces, the boys, well, they stayed behind because that was their job. And sometimes the servants in the palaces where they stayed would come by and they would see the three bumper stickers and they'd ask the wise boys about them. And they'd say to them, "Okay, what does this mean? If Jesus is Lord, someone else isn't. Why does following a star mean changing courses. Tell us why the road away from the manger is always a different one. And being wise boys, they would tell the others what they had seen and what they'd learned and why it all mattered. Do the wise boys grow up to be good Presbyterians who still talk about their Bethlehem bumper stickers? Well, that's a story for another day. Thanks be to God. Amen. As people who have heard the story and shared it, I invite you to stand as your own affirmation of faith and share once more with the world the words which we hold to be true. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.